This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 310 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com. And despite the best efforts of all 8 Shudders Inc. listeners to bring down a Vietnam Airlines aeroplane from the middle of the air, he still made it back. Welcome back from creativephotoworkshops.com.au. Mr. Glyn Lavender, how are you?
Gee, I just flew in from Vietnam and boy, are my arms tired.
Boom, dish.
Boom, boom.
How was it?
What?
Vietnam.
What about it?
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
No, we had an awesome time. We had a lot of fun. Yeah, just too much fun. Too many great photos, too many great opportunities. It was a ball.
Excellent. An absolute
ball. It was hot, which I hate. And it was humid, which I hate even more.
How hot?
It was hot. I mean, I
do a little crotch pot cooking.
every night I get in the shower to dry off.
Yeah.
It's not the shower. Outside. We're talking 35 degrees every day and 95% humidity every day. So it was blah.
Hot. Damn hot.
But other than that.
Fine if you're with a woman. Ain't no fun if you're in the jungle.
Bruce, there?
Yeah.
Bruce? I think I'm going to patch into some stupid podcast for a minute there.
Have you not seen Good Morning Vietnam?
I have, but I was just trying to,
Great movie.
Well, I'm sure it's not to the Vietnamese.
No, probably not.
who love to talk about the American war.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah. There's some Vietnam war over there.
Yeah, I'm telling right. So you got along with Malcolm okay?
Who?
Or you just left the body somewhere in the jungle?
So we got off the plane to Ho Chi Minh, and I arrived before him, which was supposed to be, he was supposed to arrive before me, but his plane was delayed. And so there I'm waiting for somebody to arrive who I don't know even what he looks like.
Yeah, right.
Which is not easy. You know, if he'd got there first, he would have been at least recognised me, because there's plenty of photos of me, and or could have had a name card up or something.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there for like, I don't know, probably 40 minutes.
Right.
And his plane had been landed for 40 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And I'm watching them coming down. From,
yeah, but he'd have to get through customs and immigration.
Yeah, I know, but I'm watching. I've got no idea what this guy looks like. But we met up and, we got on like brothers.
Excellent.
No, that's not true. I don't like my brother.
Right.
We got on like people who actually like each other.
Excellent.
So we've got it exceptionally well. Unfortunately, he's a little bit too similar to me. Yeah, it's a bit scary for a few people. A little bit too much madness.
Right.
But considering he'd never met the guy and we just spent, I don't know, 11 or 12 nights in a hotel room together, yeah. We only held hands once, which is pretty good.
Right.
So we got along exceptionally well, which is great. So he's a good guy.
Excellent.
He's a big personality.
He is. He's a lovely guy.
He's a big, big personality, and which is kind of good. Because it means I don't have to work so hard.
Right.
You know, it's if you're working with someone who's a very quiet personality and you're running a group and you need a bit of energy, it's hard if you're the only one that's got the energy.
Right.
You know. But when you're working with two people who've got boundless stupidity in them, it does help. So we had a great time. We spent, I can't remember, 4 or 5 days together just traveling around shooting. We went to Ho Chi Minh City.
Yeah.
And massive rains whilst we were there, but after we left it flooded. Really
right.
bad.
There really?
Were waves going down the streets.
Oh, wow.
Then we went to Hoi An, which it didn't rain, but as soon as we left it, they had a typhoon.
Oh, wow.
And it rained so much it flooded. There was boats in the street.
So the weather was chasing you around the country.
Yeah. CPW, can produce water, was doing its job.
Yep.
I was disappointed we missed the rain in Hoi An because those boats in the street would have been very cool.
Yeah.
Between the markets and stuff would have been a good photo shoot. And then just a day in Hanoi before the group arrived, and then we got onto the tour proper.
Cool.
But we had a ball.
So what was the highlight?
Oh, there's so many. We did this boat trip up to a fishing village out of Hoi An. It was about 4:30 in the morning, and as the sun was supposed to rise, but it was so banked in with clouds, we had no sunrise.
Oh.
But the potential with these massive fishing nets and these boats coming back in from the sea would have been just astounding if there'd been great light.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could just see the shots that we missed were just amazing.
one that got away.
You know, it's like going fishing. It's not the ones you catch. You know? So we hit this little fishing village, and I think I know there's been very few Westerners there ever, I would think.
Okay.
So we were quite the oddity. And it's quite amazing. These guys, they sort of row in on these little coracles, these little round boats.
Right.
Little rowboats full of fish, and the women are on the bank waiting for the guy. And as he gets closer, they start walking further and further into the water till they're about chest high in this water, trying to get first access to the fish.
Oh, right.
So that was pretty darn cool. And next time I'm going to strip off and go in with them.
Yeah, right.
Because I mean, the shots would be great getting up that nice and close. So that was great.
Yeah.
We went to this. We took the group out to this village a couple of hours outside of Hanoi. Once again, not a lot of Westerners. We didn't see any Westerners there, but I'm sure they'd get a few. But I don't think anyone ever stays out there much, because where we stayed in this, it's an 8-story, massive communist-style hotel, massive formal gardens to the entrance.
And you were the only people there.
At 7 o'clock that night. It was only night time.
Yeah.
Everything was turned off. It was all pitch black.
Oh, wow.
So they had to open up the gates. As we're driving up to the entrance, you see the lobby lights go on, right?
Yeah.
And we go inside, and the place is dead silent. They take us up to the 5th floor. When they open the elevator, they've got to turn the lights onto the foyer because there's nobody in this entire hotel.
Oh, wow.
This entire hotel is empty except for our little group.
Wow.
Which is bizarre. And there's no restaurant at this hotel.
Right.
So we then proceeded to go out and try and find somewhere to eat. And there's nowhere to eat. We found two restaurants. And the guide's advice was, there's a car parked out in the front of that one. There's no car parked out in the front of the other one. Let's go to that one.
Right.
Seems pretty sage advice. Look at the front door, and they've got this beautiful table with this gorgeous high back tables, and it looks fabulous, but no one in it, completely empty.
Right.
And this tables and chairs are so fancy. It's amazing for where we are. And then, okay, we want to eat. They take us upstairs to the 3rd floor to an empty room, just as... 4 green walls and a floor, and bring in cut some plastic chairs and a folding table. The chairs downstairs are for display purposes only. It's decorative.
It's like the Vietnamese version of Faulty Towers.
So it doesn't actually get used. And we're in this room, and there's some other guys in the room next door. They're all eating off the floor.
Wow. Yeah,
and once again, I'm sure we're the only Westerners who've ever eaten at this hotel.
Yeah, right.
This restaurant, I should say. And... yeah, it was awesome. The food was great. Stuff we hadn't seen anywhere else.
Yeah.
But the food for the whole trip was awesome. So that was a highlight. I photographed a 92-year-old lady who's never had a photo taken in her life.
Wow.
That was pretty cool. And I loved the photos I got too. So that's kind of nice.
Wow.
And, the fact that Malcolm's actually going back to the same area where he went on Saturday, we printed out some of the photos to take to her, which was really good.
Oh, nice.
So that was really cool.
So I'm guessing you showed her the images of herself on the back of the camera?
Yeah. Because, of course, they're great on the back of the camera, no Photoshop required.
Yeah.
So the photos were awesome, and she didn't really seem to react to them because, once again, I shoot a fairly artistic style of, it's a low contrast shot with lots of black, and to her, oh, it's very dark, I'm sure she's thinking. But I love the shots.
Cool.
We did a photo shoot on this train line that goes through buildings. All these houses.
Oh, I saw a couple of the ones of the model with the red dress on the train line.
Yeah. But this when the train comes along, people have to sort of, pull in their tables and chairs.
Yep.
It's such a tight little space. So that was an awesome place to shoot. I had a little disaster at the end of that day, which I'll talk about soon, and that kind of stuffed up that whole shoot for me, so I have to go back and do it again.
Oh, okay.
One of the funniest things, now we had an interpreter with us the whole time.
Yeah.
And we had, I think we shot 7 or 8 models over the course of the 5 or 6 days.
Right.
Every single one of them is backwards.
Sorry?
Backwards models. Turn this way, they turn the opposite.
Oh.
Put this hand up, they put the other one up. You tell the interpreter to tell them which hand to put up, they put the other one up. Don't smile, they smile. Smile, they don't smile. Look this way, they look that way. Oh, God, pull my hair out. Because I'm a much more particular shooter than Malcolm as far as how I work with light.
Yep.
Right? So I'm sculpting within like a centimetre or so of tolerance where it's going to work.
Right.
And trying to get them to move within this tiny, tight zone was, it was one of the challenging parts of the trip, but fun. As I was saying, there's a couple of little things went wrong on the trip.
Yeah.
Not major, just like somebody stuffed something up, the wrong taxi arrived, all that sort of stuff. These are the things you remember. not everything went smoothly. Right. All the vehicles arrived on time. We got in easily. The traffic wasn't any problem. We got there with no fuss.
Yeah,
you don't remember any of that.
No,
but a cow ran out in the middle of the middle of the road, and we almost hit it. You'll always remember that. You know? Stuff that goes wrong on trips that are part of the joy of travel.
Yes.
I shot this old man in a little boat in Hoi An, which was great.
Right.
And but going down this, Malcolm and the models were freaking out. I'm going down this incredibly rickety ladder. It's just some bits of wood sort of tied to the edge of this this embankment, a really steep embankment.
Right.
And everyone's saying he's going in because I weigh a lot. Yeah.
Right.
But I managed to get in. The look of sheer terror on the old guy's face on this very thin boat when I get in with my weight. That's wobbling. But halfway down, going down, I ripped the pants out of the back of my trousers.
Oh.
I said, it's the things you remember. Yeah, they go wrong. You remember that. I'll always remember that. That's really cool. Got these great shots of him.
Yeah.
At sunset, so much that we wanted Malcolm to go back and do the same thing. So we went back the next night, found him again. We found him a different spot, brought him over. Malcolm going down the steps. Now, he's even heavier than me.
Oh, okay.
He's shorter but heavier. Rips his pants in the same spot on the same piece of wood.
Oh, no. That was
great. So we had matching pair, which is kind of nice, you know. Probably one of my favourite things was we were in this little village called Duong Lam, a couple of hours from Hoi An, from Hanoi. And this old guy came up and wanted us to take his photo, which is great. They're very friendly that way.
Yep.
But then he wanted us to go back to his place.
Oh, okay.
So we went to his place and we started off with this tea. Then we started off with that tea. Then he brought out the homemade rice wine.
Oh.
It's like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no.
And it was incredibly strong with herbs and stuff in it. So it kind of took some of the curse off it.
Right.
And we had a few drinks of that. And I'll tell you, I was swirling going back down the road. But that was great. Yeah, his son was there, and his son spoke enough English that we could sort of handle.
Oh, that's good.
And we had our interpreter with us the entire time we have an interpreter with us. So all day, every day we're out traveling, a guide / interpreter. So we kind of got around that one. It was fabulous. That was, I've got some great photos, just silly iPhone shots of us all drinking. all kind of blurry.
Cool. But now, the most important question.
Yes.
Did you remember to take the most important photo of your trip?
No, I did, but I'd be blown if I remember where the camera is.
Well, you got a week to find it.
Why a week?
Because.
It's a timeline.
There is a timeline, yes.
Really?
Yes, the camera will self-destruct in a week.
It's school holidays, dude. I'm paddling here. I've got both kids home.
Right.
I'm going down fast.
Right.
I I got off the plane, got home, showered, shaved, had a cup of tea, took the kid to a birthday party.
Oh, jeez. And slept through it?
No, and then another birthday party, and then the next day another birthday party, and then school holidays with two kids. So it's been a crazy, crazy couple days back.
When did you get back? Was it Saturday?
Saturday morning, yeah.
Right, wow.
So I shot videos for most of the day for the Tamron 2-lens challenge. I thought I'll talk about lenses in just a sec.
Yeah.
But my favourite one, I've just posted up on Facebook tonight, I did this video in the Temple of Literature in Hanoi.
Right.
Surrounded by about 50 school kids, all about 4 years old, 3 years old.
Oh, okay.
And they're high-fiving and kicking me and whacking me on the head. So much fun. Completely lost track of what I was trying to say during the video. I think I said the word "it's fun" about 8 times in a row.
Right. how did you find your 2 Tamron lenses?
I opened up my camera bag and there they were.
Right. Excellent. How did you find them to use?
Oh, to use. Well, but here's the sneaky thing, right?
Yeah.
I was only ever going to do the 2-lens challenge for the 5 days that me and Malcolm were together before the tour.
Oh. You never said that before you left.
So I took along my 90mm macro.
Change the rules as you go along.
I took along my 90mm macro lens for the second trip because I love that. That thing's just so. I didn't take my 70-200 2A. I didn't take my 24-70. So I kind of stuck with that. Here's the thing: the entire trip, I didn't pull the 90mm out once.
Really?
Not one time did it leave my bag.
Wow!
And I had a little plastic Diana lens as well with me. Didn't use that either.
Okay.
Did not use it one single solitary time.
Yeah, right.
Which shows you how confident how well the other two lenses were doing. Now the 15-30 is a mind blower. Everyone should own one.
Right.
It's as simple as that. That thing is so damn good.
Yeah.
It's so big. It's so heavy.
Yeah.
But it's so sharp. Its edge to edge details is amazing. It's my favorite lens in the world.
Wow.
Now it's blown everything away I've ever used before.
Wow.
And I love it to pieces.
Wow. Big call.
So it's a remarkable lens. Apparently, it uses some new type of glass. I've got some sort of inside scoop from Tamron.
Right.
They use this new style of glass that really on the under, no one's supposed to know. They're actually licensing that glass out to certain big brand name manufacturers to use in their upcoming lenses.
Oh, okay.
This stuff is so revolutionary as far as distortion free.
Yeah, right.
So it is remarkable. The 28-300 was a great general purpose lens.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon for most non professionals, it'd be a perfect lens. Yeah, they'd have never an occasion to be pining for something else. I wouldn't have thought.
No,
perfect travel lens. It's great size. For a pro, you know, I probably want something that opens up a bit more than 6.3 at the big end.
Oh, I thought they were both 2.8.
No. Oh. 28-300, 2.8. Well, what fantasy land are you living in, boy?
Oh.
And the other disadvantage is it's a variable aperture lens. Now, mm-hmm. I'm so used to shooting A, manual, B, with constant aperture lenses, meaning that when you zoom, you don't have to think, oh, has that just changed my exposure?
Right. Yep.
Which takes a bit of getting used to when you're using those lenses again.
Yep.
And it's not as sharp as a pro lens.
Right.
There again, it's not a pro lens. <It's okay. laughs> So I don't think I'd ever use it if I was doing some pro work or really looking to get the best possible images.
Yeah.
But if I'm taking my kids out for a day, that's the lens that's going to be on the camera.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this is it's a cracking lens. And some of the shots I got were fabulous.
Yeah. You know?
It is more than sharp enough for what most people are ever going to need. So, yeah, I had no problems with it at all. Cool. Great time. Not once did I feel that I wish I had kind of thing, you know,
yeah.
Another lens. The other typical thing of dealing with conditions like that is condensation.
Yes. Yeah,
you go from inside your hotel room to outside.
Yep.
My trick for that is almost always leave the cameras in the bathroom.
Yep.
Because the bathrooms aren't air conditioned.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if people ever working in those situations or in like a cupboard, another good environment.
Oh, okay, yep.
The problem is you've got to kind of put your camera. This is where I fell down. I fell down just a couple of times before I realized what I was doing. I was carrying my cameras around most of the time just loose.
Yep.
Not in my camera bag. So I'd put the cameras away when I got back to the hotel room, either into the cupboard or the bathroom.
Yeah.
But I'd leave my camera bag out. And occasionally I'd get my camera, shove in the camera bag, close up the camera bag, go and head out. But the camera bag's cooled down.
Yeah.
So, and when you zip it up, it's basically it's like a cooler, a chili bag.
Yeah.
So I'd open up and this massive condensation had built up the lens for the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, put your camera bag in. If you're going to put them in your camera bag, wake them in the bathroom too.
Yeah.
So that was good. The other, I guess, the the realization that you are different from how non-working photographers shoot is something, unless you're spending time. I've never done many groups, taking like trips like this with groups of people who aren't full-time photographers before.
Right.
So the eye-opener is there the inability of people to see.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yes, in we're shooting stuff going past in the street, but all they see is 20 feet ahead of them, and they need to be seeing 100 feet ahead of them.
Yep.
Yeah, you need to be seeing it almost around the corner to be prepared for what's going to happen. So the inability to work fast enough because their time frames are too short.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not seeing far enough onwards into a scene.
But have you not encountered that type of that sort of thing in the workshops that you normally conduct?
Well, because the workshops are far more structured, so it's not the same thing.
Okay.
So when you're dealing with people when I'm setting stuff up, there is not a need for that preemptive thinking and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So and I guess is that the cost of repetition when you're doing something over and over again with people in a small environment, you see it happening, and you're getting shots, and they're not quite often.
Yeah.
It really makes you have to think, okay, slow down, make it easier. So it's a good learning lesson.
Yeah.
A good learning lesson.
Sure.
But yeah, so that, just the general ability, how everyone sees differently. Yeah, both Malcolm and I see the world very differently, which is great for the customer. And so it's good to learn from other people who actually know how to shoot, which is great. The other big drama was I had a massive memory card fail.
Oh.
A double barrel. I was transferring two memory cards at the same time from my dual card reader onto my external hard drive.
Yeah.
Halfway, well, a third, halfway through, whatever it may have been, the hard drive came out of the USB slot.
Ooh.
Wiped the cards completely.
What?
I have no idea how.
That's bizarre.
Completely wiped both memory cards and didn't store any of the data on the hard drive.
Ouch.
Yeah. So that's first. I don't know how it deleted it off the memory cards, but it did.
So the hard drive was attached to a laptop?
Laptop, yeah.
Right.
And the card reader to the laptop.
Yeah, right.
The hard drive, I pulled the cord a little bit by mistake because I was doing it on the stupid thing. I was doing it on the bed. Don't do these things on the bed.
Yeah.
Do it on a stable surface.
Yeah.
And yeah, it pulled out and lost everything.
That is so weird.
And that was the railway, the train line shoot.
Oh.
And who knows what else. So here's the other interesting thing. Image recovery software finds a bunch of the files.
Yeah.
Not all, I don't think, but a bunch of the files. But it can only recover them as 1 megabyte files.
Oh. So in like little chunks of a file?
The entire photo. But instead of being like a 7 or 8 meg file, it's now a 1 meg file.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's the whole image, but it's reduced resolution.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Very.
Wow. This is all the bizarre and unusual challenges.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Wow. That's really weird.
Yeah, and it didn't recover all, unfortunately, so I don't know. I took so many photos, I don't know what I lost. But yeah, that's all part in the parcel, isn't it? Yeah. So here's the thing, a couple of lessons learned. A friend of mine straight away said, never use card readers to transfer data. She goes, everyone she's ever known who's had problems with card failure, it's always been because of the card reader.
Really?
So that's news to me.
Yeah, news to me.
I can not verify this, but it was an interesting piece of information.
So what, she's suggesting actually attaching your camera
she
to your
the camera to the laptop. Computer and only ever transfers that way.
Much slower transfer, though.
It is, but if you get all your images, yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose. I'd rather lose my images and get there fast.
Oh, I'm just thinking about the time that you've then got to sit and wait for it to transfer off because you don't want to leave your camera switched on overnight while you've slept all night because then you'll wake up with flat battery. So you've got to wait for it to finish before you can go to bed, which basically means you could be easily sitting there for over an hour waiting for it to transfer all the images off, via the slow connection from the camera to the laptop.
I know.
What?
I know.
Yeah, I'm here.
I agree.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm here.
I'm here too.
Oh.
I just said I agree.
Oh, right.
That was the shock. I agreed with everything you said.
Right. Yes, it was a shock.
We almost melted the internet. Yeah. I agree with everything you say.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm probably always going to be too lazy to use the camera method, but I just thought it was interesting that that's her experience.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll probably never do again
we'll get a PC.
Is transfer two cards at once.
Yeah.
Compact flash and SD, traveling it one at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when my computer's got an SD slot in it. I could have just put the SD card in there, but I put them both in the card reader.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I'd have definitely used the one that's built into the laptop because that'll probably be a faster transfer than the card reader.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's another little experience. I met a lovely guy that was coming in to go off with Malcolm on his next photo tour he was leading after my one.
Right.
A guy called Ken Kamineski.
Right.
He's a world-renowned photographer and he runs a company called Dream Photo Tours.
Right.
Just the loveliest of guys.
Cool.
He's a Montreal Canadian, but lovely, lovely guy. So it was kind of nice to chew the fat.
So where did you meet up with him?
Well, he flew in the night before we flew out because he's going on a tour with Malcolm. He's helped co-leading a tour with Malcolm, which is on now.
Oh, right.
because Malcolm does stuff for Dream Photo Tours too.
Right.
And so they're on that little tour right as we speak, but just the loveliest of guys, just to, yeah. Yeah,
cool.
You always like to meet nice people when you're traveling.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's it. And so my next tour to Vietnam, April 9th to 16th.
Yep.
For anyone who's it's going to be roughly, give or take, depending on how the Australian dollar versus US dollar goes, about $2,300 for the whole week.
It's not bad.
It's all accommodation, all meals, all ground transport, models, location fees.
Cool.
Everything but alcohol and flights, effectively.
Yeah.
And that's only about, at the moment, about $1,600 US for an entire week.
Right.
That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Especially considering how much we covered and how many amazing photos we took. I've only looked at a minuscule amount of my photos so far.
Right.
Even with the ones I lost, I've still got too many photos to look at.
Yeah, right. So. Do you know how many you shot?
No idea. Right. Checked. Yeah. I probably shot, I'm going to say 90 gig
of photos. JPEG?
No, I was shooting some RAWs. So
oh, okay.
My favorite, actually, my other favorite shoot, I've just posted this up onto YouTube. I'll just get the link and we'll include it. Was this photo, shoot we're doing the Temple of Literature in right. Hanoi.
Yeah.
It was piss-gadoodling it down with rain.
Right.
It wasn't when we started, but it hit this point where it just was torrential downpour.
Right.
And so we and a whole stack of other tourists, I mean hundreds of tourists, are all sheltering under this one little area where it's fairly dry, and we're trying to do a shoot here.
Yeah.
So we're doing this shoot. We're surrounded by hundreds of people, and I got my iPhone out and did it behind the scenes. It looks like we're there's like about 800 photographers shooting. So it was much fun. And then, but then we look at the photograph we captured. We've got this beautiful, serene, quiet-looking image in this maelstrom of people, which is just fabulous. So,
yeah, right, cool.
Yeah, I just sent the link to the YouTube video for the iPhone video.
Oh, cool.
So that was a heap of fun.
Excellent.
Mostly because, once again, the type of image and the serenity of the image we could capture in this craziness. Craziness. So anyway, that's it for me.
Awesome.
Nice talking with you. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
Have you been, my friend?
I've been good. I've been having a ball with this movie soundtrack.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just loving it.
Why?
Why?
Just because it's different, or?
Because I've had the opportunity to learn a bunch of new stuff about audio, and it's felt like it's been a long time since I've had the opportunity to learn a great deal about audio because, you know, everything I need to know, I already know kind of thing, yeah. You know, but, you know, working in radio production as I do, I've only ever had a need to work in stereo. And so, you know, this whole process of learning about 5.1 and how you, you know, lay up sound effects and ambiences and all that sort of stuff, and then how you allocate those to play back through different channels and how you automate things to move from one channel to another channel and all this sort of stuff has just been a fascinating learning curve for me. And as I said to Kath, you know, this has given me the same kind of buzz that I felt the very first time I saw audio edited on a computer.
Wow.
You know, after working on tape and, you know, the first time I saw, you know, stuff done on a computer, I was like, hang on, what? You just deleted that and then you brought it back? Like, on tape. That just doesn't happen. You erase it, it's gone, you know.
It's gone, man.
And so this whole learning curve of, mixing in surround sound is just, yeah, it's been a real eye and ear opening experience and I'm just loving it. And Chad,
got a whole new career ahead of you.
Well, quite possibly. Chad is absolutely over the moon with the stuff that I've done on the movie so far. He said in one of his emails, he said, mate, you've reinvigorated my interest in this project way above where it's been for months, you know. So,
wow.
He said, in my wildest dreams, I envision you and I working on projects like this, you know, in the future. And I wrote back and went, yeah, absolutely, man, I'm all for it. So,
yeah, but my fee just doubled.
Yeah. So, and it's been interesting. I've had a voice artist in the studio only yesterday and, an actress and voice artist by the name of Emma Leonard. And, I'd only worked with her once before, which was a couple of weeks ago, and we got her back in for a voice session yesterday, and I said, oh, so how's things? How you been? She goes, yeah, good, really busy. The show just started. And I went, oh, what show? And she goes, oh, it's called 800 Words. And I went, oh, okay, yeah, I know the show. It's just started airing on Channel 7. And she plays the role of a school teacher in this show. And so we got talking about that, and of course I got talking about this movie project, and she said, I make movies, you know, I make films in my spare time as well. And she said, so it's good to know that you're, you know, into the whole surround sound mixing and yada yada. So, you know, this could expand. Who knows? So
you never know.
Yeah. So anyway,
she does 80% of a photo.
Sorry?
She's in a show, 80% of a photo.
Yes, right. Yes, exactly.
If a picture tells 1,000 words,
that's right.
She's in a show called 800.
That's right. 800 words, yes.
So, you should have told her that. She looked like the nerd you are.
Yes.
You stepped away quietly from the scary man.
Yes, exactly. While you were gone.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway. While you were gone, Sony did indeed announce the forthcoming A7S Mark II.
Did they?
They did. Yes. So I think that's due out in November. They kept the megapixel count the same at 12.2. What?
Oh, that's what you wanted.
Hello.
That's what you wanted, wasn't it?
Hello.
That's what you wanted?
Yeah, yeah.
Nerd. that's what you wanted?
It's certainly... yes and no.
Oh. You said, I'll be happy if they kept the megapixels as it is. That's what you said.
Yes, that's true.
So now they've done that,
you're not happy, Jack. I did also say, months ago, I said, I reckon, you know, after they released the A7R Mark II, I said, it is my belief that somewhere down the track, very soon, they're going to announce an A7S Mark II, and if they put all the same new tech into that as they put into the A7R Mark II, it's going to be the camera.
And they didn't?
And they didn't. It hasn't got the back illuminated sensor.
Why not?
I don't know. I do not know. I would have thought that that technology with, you know, its ability to improve...
Did you ask them?
I don't have a hotline to Mr. Sony. So there's some interesting, you know, things that, yeah, it's still a great looking camera. It really is. And I'm sure
it looks. Looks don't count. How does it shoot?
Sorry?
Looks don't count. How does it shoot?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if anyone has got a working or even a pre-production model. I don't know if anyone has got one yet. So. But I'm sure, you know, over the next few weeks, we'll start to see leaked, you know, images from pre-production models, and I'm sure it'll be, you know.
I see their latest cameras will gain the option to shoot uncompressed RAW files.
Yes. Yes.
And looking at the pixel peeping data, mega glowy things, it looks different. There's less noise, there's artifacts, less stuff.
That's what I've heard, things that I've read today. I think, was it on Petapixel? I can't remember. I did read somewhere that they were talking about the uncompressed RAW having less artifact, lower artifacts on high contrast regions within images. So if you've got, you know, a dark tone and a light tone side by side in an image, then there's less artifacts, you know, in the uncompressed RAW. And
all that in only 82 megabyte file.
What's that?
That's what the file size is. So only 82 megabytes.
That can't be right.
It is.
Not for a 12 megapixel.
I don't know which camera it is. It just says the latest cameras. I'm reading something.
That's Sony's probably based on the A7R Mark II.
But there were 40.7 when they were compressed.
Yeah, right. Files.
Now they're 81.4.
Nice. Well, that's a good thing. Hard drives are getting bigger.
Good point.
Yeah, so anyway, what else did we get? I saw a fantastic profile of images. This is the first link that I sent you on my modernmet.com. This is a 22-year-old girl, and I think she was from Hungary, if I remember right.
Is she going in the file?
Oh, yeah. self-portraits.
Oh,
obviously with...
Real.
What?
Get real. The first shot, come on. Come on, girl.
Clearly there's some Photoshop going on. Sorry, can't say Photoshop. But clearly there's some image manipulation going on. But really well done.
She's only got 22 photos in total. She's 22 and she's got 22 photos.
There you go.
And they started taking photos a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
So I hate her already. Yeah. One photo and I hate her.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the second one. Don't hate her so much. That's a pretty boring. Third one, nah.
There's some clever stuff in there.
Fourth one, nah. Fifth one, nah.
Okay.
Sixth one's really good. Oh, the one with her in the tree. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome.
That's great, isn't it?
Not so much. Yeah, the one with the bird on the bit of string.
On the string. Yeah. I like the one in the water.
Yeah, it's okay. Doesn't really float my boat.
Nah.
Boom, boom. The one with the dress in round, that's just cleverly done.
Yeah.
Get that thing, yeah, photoshopped so perfectly.
Yeah.
No, but she's very glad. That one with the tree, that's just a fabulous shot. Yeah. That's just mind-blowingly good.
Yeah. Now, I need you to remind me, who was Sally Mann?
Sally Mann, she was Mr. and Mrs. Mann's little girl.
Well, that clears it up. I got an email through the week from a guy called Theo who said he works at Artsy and that while researching...
I'm sure I've seen this before.
Now,
the same email.
I'm glad that you said that because I was thinking the same thing, but then I thought, no, the previous email was about Vivian Meyer.
Oh, there you go. So it's the same spiel.
Right.
It's the same spiel, though.
Yeah.
So I reckon it's some sort of con.
All right. So we'll pass over on that one.
Sally Mann, phenomenal American photographer.
Right.
Photographed her children a lot.
Oh, okay.
In fairly...
What a radical thing to do for a parent.
Yeah, but fairly contentious kind of images.
Oh, you know, okay.
Quite a bit of nudity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fairly stark. Nothing sexual about any of them, but it was never... Really, yeah, she was frowned on by some folk,
right,
shall we say.
But
right. She was, yeah, she's a very, very good photographer.
Oh, okay.
I was looking at, I was talking with a guy the other day about photos. I was showing this one guy who I follow on Instagram, and he's got very much a Sally Mann-esque kind of feel.
Right.
And he photographs his kids as well, and they're very Sally Mann-esque looking sort of kids.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. We also got an email from Rob Coates in Perth.
Yes,
who said,
lovely Rob.
I thought this was interesting with a link to an article on abc.net.au. And this was about a photographer in Brisbane who was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and has, at around about the same time, discovered a love for photography and has taken to doing long exposure stuff, handheld, and of course, you know, because of the shake from the Parkinson's, gets these quite repetitive motion effects within these long exposure images. So they actually look a little bit like a Mandelbrot set, if that means anything to anyone.
Yeah, such a nerd.
But I thought it's a very interesting story.
Yeah, and, very cool.
And there's some cool looking images in there. So, I will put that link in the show notes for anyone who wants to check
it out. This just sprang to mind. I was flicking through TV last night.
Right.
And I saw this show called Renovation Australia or something.
Right.
And
I'm bored with it already. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And then but on the information, I saw this name, and it wasn't Gervasoni, but it was something like that. And there's these people renovating this homestead.
Right.
I've gone, hang on a sec. And this name rang a bell, and when I did my Castlemania weekends, we photographed on this old homestead, this crumbling down homestead in the country of Victoria.
Yeah.
Amazing, incredible location.
Yeah.
And these people have bought the property, and they're doing it up.
Oh, no.
I know, but it was amazing to watch this. This apparently it's a National Trust-listed property.
Oh, okay.
Watching them renovating this thing, and the guy who used to own it, a guy called Murray, who was originally, who's like his great grandfather built it. He was in the show, and he's sitting there playing the accordion in front of the house, which he did for us. It's like, oh, it was great. It was kind of cool to watch.
Wow!
But and it's so very nice because the place is amazing, and it's going to fall to pieces to nothing. It'll be gone. So it's kind of nice it's being rescued, but to turn it into a modern house is a bit sad. But
yeah.
Anyway,
it's a bit like that that story we covered a few months back about the the massive mansion in France that had all those layers of paintings.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. That's
you know, awesome. Just think that they're going in and renovating it, and it's like, no, you can't do that. Hey,
the same pitch. No,
exactly. Carl sent us a review on Petapixel of the Peak Design capture lens. Now, I had a look at this, and I'm still kind of struggling to understand what this thing is meant to do. Is it just meant to be a third hand that holds your lenses for you?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Right.
Sent to me too. I didn't look at. I don't look at it.
It looks like it's just a thing.
A double sided rotating mount for quickly storing switching out your lenses whilst on the move.
Yeah. So it's just like a third hand that holds two of your lenses for you. So, I don't know. It just seems like a strange kind of thing to invent. I guess someone's got a use for it.
Once the clip is attached to your bag, a number of safety... Okay, so basically you pull your lens off, clip it onto this thing whilst you're putting your other lens on,
yeah.
I guess. So why don't you just put it in your bag?
Like I said, it's like a third hand that holds a couple of lenses for you.
Okay. It's a video.
Yeah, yeah. And I watched that and that's pretty much what it looked like. So, sorry, okay. Carl, you're on your own on that one, mate. Thank you.
See, when he's biking along, he needs one hand to handle the bike, one to take photos.
That's why he likes it.
Lenses.
He can change lenses while he's riding his bike. fantastic. The former listener, Adam Davidson, sent us a couple of links.
Won't talk about him because he doesn't listen to us anymore.
This was an interesting one. This was on F-Stoppers about an absolutely despicable company who go by the name of Lifestyle Photographers Proprietary Limited here in Australia. Sorry?
Allegedly.
Oh, is it not confirmed?
I don't care if it is. You should still say the word allegedly just in case.
That doesn't get you out of hot water. It doesn't.
Saying allegedly?
Yep. It does not get you off the hook.
Allegedly, it does.
yes, allegedly it does.
What did these lifestyle photographers for Charles Limited do themselves?
Well, what they have been doing is going into shopping centres in areas where there are very poor and uneducated Aboriginal people, offering them a free photo shoot and then getting them to sign basically direct debit agreements and charging up to $10,000 for images of these Aboriginal people. And these are people that can barely afford food to eat. And it's all been a bit of a scam because they're preying on people who don't know any better, who don't have a solid grasp of the English language, who don't understand the idea of a contract.
Allegedly.
Yeah. So anyway, they're on the, or in the sights of the ACCC, the Australian Competition and Consumer
Commission. It hasn't even been heard by the court yet, so allegedly they've been doing this.
Okay.
One of our eight listeners may know them.
Possibly.
We could go viral.
We could.
Double figures.
Anyway. It sounded like a nasty story. So,
they
are guilty of what they are, of what the story says, then I hope they end up paying for it.
As there's always say, there's one person's version, there's the other person's story, and then there's the truth.
And then there's the truth, yeah.
Somewhere along there, maybe, is,
yeah.
Give them a slight benefit. Oh, just whilst I think about it, because it struck into my mind, a sad day last week, Australia's largest camera store in physical size closed down.
Oh, who was that?
In Brisbane. It's Photo Continental.
Wow.
Awesome store, great people, wonderful service, massive range of products. Gone.
Yeah, right.
No longer a foot. That's just so sad.
Hmm.
So, another one gone. Anyway.
Yeah.
Iconic photographers posed for these baseball cards in 1974. Do we care?
No, not really.
Okay. Get away. Get alive, Adam. Stop drinking so much beer. Yeah. Not this. He doesn't listen, so we could say anything about him.
Exactly.
Your beer photos are crap.
So when are we going to get the images out of this camera?
Which camera?
The one that went round the world.
The NASA one that was in space? That went around the world. Yeah. I'm in the middle of school holidays, dude. I'm kind of...
Drop it in the mail, send it back to me and I'll look after it.
No, no, I'm going to send it to my mate in Brisbane, who's still in business. Right. A different one. And get him to do it. I'll get there.
I'll get there.
I've got to find it first. I've got a feeling it's in my camera bag. I just haven't looked in my camera bag since I got back.
Right.
I took two. There's like 8 photos left on it.
What? Oh, yeah, that's right. There would be.
I took 2.
There would be. Well, that's fine.
I was going to fill it up, but I...
That was because, if I remember rightly, it was a 28 exposure and we had about 20 people involved in the project and there weren't enough frames for everyone to do 2 images. So, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I've got to see now. You've sent me that link for the baseball cards, yeah, which I'm ignoring.
Yeah.
But this other link I've just seen in the side, I have to look at.
Oh, what
the
was it?
The Fujin Mark II vacuum lens.
Oh yes,
sucks even more, and that's a good thing. What on earth is this?
It's a vacuum cleaner shaped like a lens.
No way.
And you stick it on your camera, and it sucks all the crap out of the inside of your camera. But isn't that a great blog heading?
Oh god, that's so funny. How much does this thing cost?
I don't know.
$150 US. That's like $200 Australian. Yeah, I'll just live with dust on my photos.
I want to know what mounts it comes with.
I've never cleaned a sensor on my camera in my life.
Have you really?
Never. Ever. I destroy cameras well.
You kill them before they get dirty.
No, I've never, ever, 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 ever.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
And I change my lenses a lot more than most people, and I always do it with the camera turned on, and sometimes I leave the camera exposed, turned on, no lens on, for several minutes, pointing up at the sky in dirty ways.
Right.
So that's what all the fuss is about, personally. And I often shoot at f22.
Right.
So if you're going to see it,
it's going to be there. Yeah.
Oh, F22 with ambient underexposed by a couple of stops aiming at the sky.
Yeah.
Which, if you're going to see any specks of dust, you're going to see it. They don't seem occasionally, it's occasional hair or a speck of dust, but
yeah,
nothing compared to what seems to be the feel of the rest of the world. I was going to say paranoia, but that just would be mean.
Okay.
Truthful, but mean.
All right. Well, maybe I look forward to seeing the images from our Pass the Camera project. Yeah, that's it. That's all we had.
Oh, we had something from Dave.
Nah, ditch that.
Really?
Yep.
It's too late now. I've mentioned it.
Well, I've killed the link. I don't have the link now.
I've got the link. Art and About Sydney Australian Life, a moment to reflect on how we see ourselves writ large in a stunning outdoor gallery.
There it is. I found the link again.
It's free.
Yeah, so this is an art exhibition that's happening in Sydney. And where were the dates? From Friday the 18th of September, which means it's already started, and it will run through until Sunday the 11th of October, every day 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. in Hyde Park in Sydney, and it's free.
The other but thing...
It's only 22 images.
Yeah, it could be a really good day.
Want to be.
The digital show coming up in Melbourne, October 16 to 18, I think it is.
Yep.
Canon pulled out this week.
What?
Yep.
Why?
I don't know. Haven't heard the reasons yet.
Wow.
I can assume it's because they can't afford it.
Oh, rubbish.
Just saying. Well, they can't, trust me, no one's got any money, so I can understand it. I just think it's incredibly bad form.
Wow.
But yeah, they pulled it out.
That's... I predict that will be the opening of the floodgates.
Well, in America, the major PMA show, that died when Canon and Nikon pulled out.
Yeah.
And it can only be a matter of, you know, as I said, catalog to this one, it's probably, I said months ago, it's going to be the last one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, if Nikon don't pull out between now and then, they certainly won't be there next year if Canon aren't going to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
And with those two gone, then the whole thing falls in a heap.
Yep.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
I predicted it. Said, say, so I was watching this video just before I saw this link. I said, that's me. And I was watching this video from some interview I did a few years ago asking about photography and the future of photography. And I was making these predictions. This is, I think it's probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and most of them have all come true.
Yeah, right.
Which is all about the mid-level photographers kind of disappear and only leave the high end and the low end stuff, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that was most of my biggest prediction. So, yeah, life is getting tougher and tougher out there in photo world.
Yeah.
We saw with the stores going out of biz and Canon pulling out. That's a fair indicator, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Shows how much they value our market, or they just simply can't afford to exist in their market.
I'm sorry, but I'm not buying the argument that a company the size of Canon can't afford to have a booth at a trade show. They could afford it. They're obviously just having trouble justifying it.
Yeah, well, they sacked a whole bunch of staff because they could no longer afford the staff.
Yeah, right.
And the booth's cheap. It's how much it costs. You've got to fly staff in from all around the country. You've got to put them open accommodation, feed them. It costs $500,000 to do one of these shows.
Wow.
How many cameras are you going to sell to get $500,000 revenue back?
Probably about a million cameras.
I heard my wife was telling me yesterday about cars, like Ford and so on.
Right.
They make an average between $300 and $400 per car they sell.
Wow. So that's the manufacturer cut.
Yeah.
Jeez.
$300 to $400. And the only place they make money? Finance.
No way.
The only place they make money is when you take out the dealer finance.
Wow.
So my wife's in the finance business, so she was telling me all about it.
Wow.
Yesterday. Yeah. Anyway.
That's pretty tragic.
It's the state of the world, isn't it?
Jeez.
Anyway, I'll try and get that camera organized this week. No promises. A busy schedule with kids.
Yeah.
Holiday.
Yeah.
But I'll do my bestest. And if not, I'll tell you why I didn't do it next week.
Excellent. All right, mate. So other than school holiday commitments, you got anything else planned for this week?
I've got a workshop this week.
Yep.
Set to understand your camera and
it's
about it, I think.
Sweet.
Nice and easy.
We should get into the habit of, instead of me asking you what you've got on this week, I should be asking you, what have you got on next week when people will actually hear it and have time to act on it?
I think I've got a natural light workshop
right. The
week after, I think.
Cool. All right. So if you're hearing this within 2 or 3 days of its release, then you'll see.
And the week after, I think I've got Flash.
Yeah, cool.
I'm just about to announce some Warrnambool dates. If you're in the country of Victoria, Warrnambool, that's coming up in early
November. Right.
And yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
I will.
Glad to hear you got back safely and that you had a good trip to Vietnam.
Hanging to go somewhere again.
Won't be long.
School holidays does that to you.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, mate.
Thank you. Talk
to you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out ShuttersIncPodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShuttersIncPodcast.com.